adult audience, Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo! Hell yeah, Drew. Ooh. Hell yeah. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's my partner and my bro, Dr. Drew.
Woo!
Everybody. This close to dropping trowel. This close. I will drop trowel.
Chris.
I will drop trowel.
Just don't mention it because he'll do it. I swear to God, the guy's nuts.
I'll drop trowel.
Guy's nuts. He will. He'll do it. He's nuts. Don't even talk. He's crazy. I'm telling you, watch it. Oh, look what you did. Adam, look, I just spilled coffee all over Lauren. I'm sorry.
Did you whack Lauren?
Yes.
That's
hot coffee. We're just sending her back to sit in the microwave to make it boil.
It's 10 minutes in the making. Drew's such prima donna that he sends junior producer Lauren to heat up his coffee. Even though his coffee is warm, it's not scalding hot.
Right. But she brought it back scalding hot. I just threw my arms back and...
And I was threatening to drop trowel, and Drew was gesticulating with his arms. And right as she was handing him the steaming microwave mug of... Yeah. Let me say this about microwave containers, by the way. I'm getting to the point, you know, my batting average with microwave containers over at the house, I'm batting about 10%. Meaning... One out of every 10 dishes I got actually works in the microwave.
Hmm.
First off, I did the world's stupidest thing is the last set of dishes I bought, I found these really nice dishes, had this ring of silver around them.
Smart.
I thought, oh, that looked great. It's a beautiful looking thing. Brought them all home and then realized when I got home, none of them are going into the microwave.
Well, you could do what I did. You get the dishes and bowls that heat to the surface of the sun. So you could sizzle your hand off every time you reach into the microwave.
And then when I look into the bowl... There is a fat Minnesotan who's fishing in it. He's ice fishing. He's going after crappie. It's like, how's a bowl the surface of the sun and the temperature colder than the air?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I understand. It was in a can in the cupboard.
Right.
How is it physically colder than the ambient temperature when, A, it was sitting in the cupboard, I didn't pull out of the refrigerator.
And now it's sitting in a bowl
and B,
on fire.
And B, now it's sitting in a bowl that's on fire. It's a molten chalice. And, still cold. Bowl, burning. And then I started thinking to myself, I don't really have too many bowls that work too well. And then I started thinking, I'm not a molecular scientist. Let's just go ahead and make them all, whatever it is.
How about a universal, a little dot that appears on them if they're not microwave good? You know what I'm saying? Just a little indication. Just a little heads up. Like, there's nothing. There's zero.
Yeah. Let me tell you this, too. We finished, as I said, there's things we're still going on and things we're done with.
Yeah.
As I said, the ketchup packet, little pouch of ketchup that somebody we signed off as Americans, we signed off in 1951 with. I could get people to get back to work on that.
Yeah.
I like it a little better with that. Everything I like them to work on. Let's get metal into the microwave. Now, because this is the last technological hurdle of our time right here, which is there's nothing worse. You get the stupid Chinese food. They give you that little, aha, there's something we could focus on a little
change
bit,
those
too.
Trays.
That you get those Chinese food. You get the little...
By the way, do you have to have your fingers lacerated every time you eat Chinese food? Just lifting the edges up of that or putting it back down?
Forget about that. No, that's the Italian food.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay, so here's the thing. The Italian food comes in the foil tray that takes... 1,000 acrobat midgets to get the top perfectly sealed again. Right. You cannot slide that stupid thing in. Once you pop it, you better eat it. Because you'll never get the thing all peeled back, the lip peel. That will not go in the microwave, by the way. And, you know, everyone knows the best part of the takeout clings to the container. You know, that's the greasy, that's the gelatinous part. That's the congealed part that's stuck at the bottom, that red fat. You know, it's kind of clear, but it's a little terracotta color. That's the best part of the meat sauce. Am I right, Drew?
Yeah.
That'll never come loose. That's going right in your sponge, give you botulism down the road. Here's the thing. That container needs to be able to go into the microwave, and the Chinese food container, complete with the metal wire hanger tote thing, those days are gone, too. That thing needs to go into minus the wire Yes. Little wire thing.
Yep.
All right, we need to work on those containers as well as the packet. And I once, and I will give the Nobel Peace Prize to the man that can invent the microwave that can handle metal. Imagine the utopia we would be living in.
Chris is giving an amen.
When you put a little metal in that. Am I right, Chris?
That's great.
Yeah. We may send up for Chinese food right
Next caller!
Right now.
The microwave, I'm going to strangle. Anderson, turn that S down. I'm going to strangle you. Ugh. Thing is so goddamn loud in my head. Thank you. Now, what was I saying, Drew? I can't. It's so loud. All right.
Trays. Microwave.
Now, microwave. Yeah. They've been around for 35 years. It's time we conquer this barrier. It's not insurmountable.
Yep.
We can do it. Metal in the microwave, everybody.
It might be. We don't know what the technology is that's
I know. Deployed. I know we got the right stuff.
All right.
And if our scientists can't do it, we turn to Mexico for help. Okay?
Or Hawaii.
The two greatest scientific powers of our time.
I'm making fun at Adam for that one.
No, they're great, both scientific powers.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay! I want to go to Hawaii.
Jenny, what's up?
Hello?
Anderson? There you are, Jenny.
Hi.
What's happening?
All right. I had a boyfriend, and he wasn't like a good guy. He was like a skinhead, and I wasn't really into them. And I broke up with him, and I had a bladder infection after that. Bladder infection. Took care of that. Went to the doctor, got an antibiotic, and then now, ever since that, I've had this smell that won't go away down there.
Well, do you know for sure that this was a urine infection? It wasn't a vaginal infection to start with?
Yeah.
You were tested. You had the urine tested.
Yeah, they did a pee test.
A pee test. The urine was cultured and they grew an organism, yes?
What?
As far as you know, all right. Look, the possibility is, A, that he gave you another kind of infection, not just a urine infection, but a vaginal or even pelvic infection, so that needs to be checked out. Or number two, maybe this is just some sort of bacterial overgrowth or yeast infection.
Well, it's not going away.
Has it been treated?
No.
Okay, Jenny.
Jenny dumb.
Yeah. Go see a doctor. Let me be super, ultra, very clear. Go see somebody. You have an infection.
All right. Let's take a nice woodworking question tonight.
Oh,
Drew, punching his mic, only 7 minutes in.
Where's the woodworking?
We don't have one. Oh. It sounded like we were. I know it got you excited enough to sock the microphone.
Yeah.
But I'd like to take a woodworking question tonight.
All right.
A real woodworking.
That's because you've been really triumphing at your house today, right?
I've been doing a lot of woodwork.
Yeah.
A lot of woodwork. Lots of woodwork. Lauren?
Caller who goes by Lauren?
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, what's up?
Actually, I was just wondering, I'm on birth control currently, the pill, and I was just wondering, how many days into the pill after my period can I start having sex?
Really, to be very certain, you're supposed to go to the second packet.
Right.
So away, as soon as you start the second packet.
Okay.
All right.
And when I'm on the white pills or the sugar pills, is it okay to have sex then too?
Yeah, yeah. Well, once you're covered, you are covered continuously by this product.
The second packet is the second month?
Yeah.
Once you start on the second month,
you can have sex.
So when do you start? Will you start the pill as soon as you get the pill, or will you wait till after your period and then start the pill?
Well, it's an interesting question. Nowadays, I think most doctors would say you just go ahead and start. They used to time it with the period and this and that. Now they just go, hey, just start it up.
Right.
It'll delay your period, but who cares? Get you covered. And it's much more safe that you not get pregnant.
Mm-hmm. All right there, Lauren.
All right, thanks.
Use condoms also.
All right.
Calling from New Mexico.
Yeah.
Nice area out there.
Yeah, but it's...
Beautiful country.
Yeah.
Fantastic country. Horrible people. beautiful scenery, though.
Hmm.
Awful people. Great country.
I'm surprising. That's a state I've never been to.
New Mexico?
I've been to every state except Maine and New Mexico.
Yeah. New Mexico's nice. I think I've been there. Sedona. That's in New Mexico.
That's Arizona, isn't it?
Sedona, Arizona. Yeah. Well, then what else? What's
Albuquerque and...
Doesn't New Mexico have one of those funky, crazy,
Nouveau,
Artso, Fago...
Santa Fe.
Oh, that's Santa Fe. Well, maybe I've been to Santa Fe. Is it near Sedona?
I don't know.
All right, I'm going to look into this.
No, you're not. I am.
All right, Drew, you're going to look into this.
Yeah.
Monique?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's happening?
I can't believe I'm on the phone with you guys.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about talking to you, too. You're 20. What's going on?
Actually, my husband cheated on me and got another woman pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
We actually
Thus, that is why 20-year-olds should not get married.
Yeah, we have a daughter.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that makes it different.
All right.
Kind of different.
Yeah, we've been together for about 5 years.
Yeesh.
And so my question is, I'm just wondering, I'm kind of up in the air of whether I should stay with him or not.
Well, I mean, yeah, he cheated on you. He got somebody else pregnant. Was he having a long-standing affair with this person, or was it a one-time thing?
Well, actually, it happened, from what they tell me, it happened twice.
Go ahead and put 3 zeros behind that number.
Yeah.
Are they planning to break up?
What?
Are they planning to break up?
Well, he's saying that it's over. They're not talking right now. He told me he loves me. He's sorry. He wants to work it out.
Well, okay. Let me ask you this, though. Interesting question. You said they told me.
Right.
How did that work out?
Well, actually, it's a weird situation because this girl and him have been friends. Mm-hmm. And here I am, I'm trusting, thinking they're just friends. I've talked to her on the phone. Mm-hmm. And when he told me she was pregnant, first thing I asked him, how many times did you sleep with her? He said twice. I called her to make sure it was true. Mm-hmm. And I said, how many times did I have it? She said twice. So.
Nah.
Twice is, hold on, let me talk to Drew for a second. Because I'm thinking about lying here and how liars work.
Yeah.
Under 10 times, under 20 times means once. It was a chance encounter. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I mean, you can go any direction you want here, but here's all I'm saying. If there's a girl, I got my wife busted me, and I was screwing around, and I had at her multiple times, it would be once.
Right.
If it was a long-standing thing, it would be twice.
Right.
It'll be a couple of times.
Well, here's what I find.
A couple of times means long-standing.
Yes.
What?
I totally agree with you. Because what is there in a genuinely two-contact experience that has to be discussed about whether we're going to break up?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we hooked up. That's it.
In a genuine two-contact gets passed off as one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because here's all I'm saying. You blow out of town, you hook up with some groupie or something, you do it once, you're having an affair with someone at work, you say twice.
Yeah, yeah.
But twice just means multiple.
Yeah.
And once means
And the fact that they had to have a discussion, are you going to break up?
Well, right.
Why would you break up with somebody you sort of passed in the night?
Someone's pregnant now, Monique.
Yeah.
Okay, so at least they got on. At least your husband's smart enough that him and her got on the same page with the twice stuff.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That obviously they talked about it before, or that it did happen.
Yeah,
I'm not real sure.
Either way. All right. Yeah. So is she going to have the baby?
She is. He's tried talking to her and putting it up for adoption. Blah blah. She's not going for it.
Yeah. Is she in love with him or? What does she want?
She's already causing problems for him. He's out of my house. He's gone for now.
He's out of your house, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounded like she.
Sounded like she, too, but he's out of your house.
Yes, he is.
Dragging on cigarettes. 20. Well, yeah, 20.
He's been talking to her about abortion. She's not with that. That's fine. A woman's choice. But she won't give it up for adoption. She's been causing him problems, calling him all the time, and... Mm-hmm. It's just a big mess. And my only concern is we have a daughter together.
Right. And now where is he? He's out of the house.
Yeah, he's staying with the guy he works with.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Could you refrain from just choking down that cigarette while we're talking?
She's nervous, Drew. She's on the phone. It's late night.
It makes me short of breath just listening to that.
She's calling from the Mile High City. You can smoke in Denver. It doesn't affect you the same way it affects people at sea level, Drew. Are literally on the ocean side because it's illegal in Santa Monica now. First rate killer.
I feel like I'm getting some secondhand smoke just talking to me.
All right, look, she's nervous. She's outside.
Thank you.
It's late at night. Let her blow a butt. Monique,
Yeah.
He's out of the house. Okay, so I guess the question is do you think things are worth salvaging with this guy? I'm glad you're factoring in your daughter.
No, on behalf of the child, is it worth salvaging?
No,
he wants to.
She's my biggest concern, you know.
He wants to try to work it out.
He does. He says he loves me. He wants to be there for his family. And, you know, that's the weird thing, too. We haven't had any problems before this, and we haven't been fighting. It was just out of the blue.
All right. Well, listen, keep in mind, unfortunately, and I don't have to tell you this, now that this woman is going to see this kid through to full term, and he's going to have a son or a daughter, and he's going to have to be involved, and that means
pay for
financially, yeah. And also he's going to have to spend time if he chooses to, and he should choose to. Well, do you want to hang? I mean, hold on. Let me talk to Drew. Who do you want for your dad? You know, I mean, do you want a dad who can sire a child and not see the child to be the father of your child? You know what I mean? I mean, a guy who can shut himself off that way and say, we never really talked about how this works.
I wonder if a guy like this could handle, I mean, parenting one child, and now you take whatever he's got to give one and split it out in a weird situation with another, and it's like, the whole thing falls, wheels come off the wagon.
Yes. So here's my point. If this chick won't give the kid up for adoption, and I'm sure she's not, and this guy does his chore, which is pays his child support and some contact or visitation or whatever, Monique is in for a double duty dad, and I'm guessing this guy's probably about 5/8 of a dad right now.
That's what I'm saying.
He ain't dad and a half.
I'm saying the same thing.
So yeah, what's that mean?
It means we can't answer it.
Monique?
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a job?
Yeah, he does. He's a diesel mechanic.
All right. Makes okay money?
Yeah, and I'm in school right now.
Ooh.
And that's the thing, too. You know, I mean, I've worked so hard so my family can, you know, have a good life. We don't have to worry about money too much, and then here I'm going to have to pay for another kid.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is can you forgive him? Every time you see him writing a check over to Miss Nosy Snatch over there, and, you know you ain't going on vacation this summer because he's got another mouth to feed across the way. Is it you're gonna seethe with anger every day?
And that's the other thing. And then when this kid, obviously, I'm gonna have to be a part of this kid's life. I don't want to treat this kid bad.
No, you're absolutely right.
And I think he had control over. You know.
All right. Here's what I say you do, Monique. I say you let this guy back in your life.
Let me make a statement too. I think Monique has a moral compass.
I think Monique is very mature.
Yeah, a fairly astute compass that she can rely upon, and we can direct and tell her to do what's right. And
You're a decent person. Yeah. This guy gets to come back in, and when he does come back in, you're going to have to just let it go. He's gonna have to be financially supportive, but don't let him back in if you're gonna seethe and harbor this against him. I don't think you're gonna.
No, I think she's capable of forgiveness, but because you have a good compass.
But
like
he's on a short leash.
Yeah, you got to lay down the law because the things that you think are right or wrong are right and wrong, and that's what you should expect him to apply by. That's it.
Right, and you just focus on your kid. And look, everybody, this is why when you're with someone since the 9th grade, you don't get married at 19.
That's how I open that call.
You don't get
married at 20. No way.
No, you've been with them because look, as a 20 year old dude, you're not done. You haven't even gotten started. Drew, as a man of colossal passion, supreme mammoth passion.
Yes.
You at 20, finished?
No.
Oh no.
No.
Barely underway. Hmm. If it was a marathon, you would have. You would have been waving at people as you're leaving, you know, going down Main Street. Not even finishing mile number one. If it was a passion marathon, which is going to be on Cinemax tonight, by the way, passion marathon.
You were correct, sir.
Every once in a while, you know, I see those Emmanuel in Haiti, you know, and I just tap into it, but you know what? I'm too far gone. I see a little ass cheek and a fake.
What
boob,
do you mean, too far gone?
I need the hard stuff.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It doesn't. You know, I look at it.
Well, that's just for women. The soft.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Women let me.
It used
store
to be
it.
For me.
Yeah, when you had nothing else.
Yeah, I had nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all we had.
Yeah, it was film. You'd sit in the theater and watch that.
You know, I landed, I fell in the cracks between the porn theater and VCR.
Mm.
Like, you know, too young for the porn theater.
Right.
And then by the time I would have been old enough to go see a porno stag film in a theater, the VCR started trickling in. Not at the Corolla house,
of course.
But I had friends who had VCRs. Yeah.
All right. That's right. You had Beta.
Yes, Papa Corolla did see fit to get a Beta machine from Radio Shack, where he bought exclusively. Let me tell you.
He had a long career in editing, didn't he?
Would call my dad a hi-fi connoisseur. But he only bought the speakers that had the speaker wire soldered to the back of them. You know, this that big hole in the piece of
cardboard
in the back, and the little skinny speaker thing that was about 6 feet long going into it.
And yes, people would not know what you're talking about, but yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, my dad's stereo equipment. He had an 8-track, a cassette player, a turntable, and the tuner all in one unit. Oh yeah,
yeah.
You he was like James Bond.
Tom.
Yeah.
What's going on?
21. What's up?
Yeah, I have a girlfriend who, she's 28. She has two kids, and we've been going out for about a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, just lately, like, she really hasn't been treating me well, and just, like, we have all kind of, like, fights and arguments and stuff like that.
Then you cash it in. You're done.
What's
Tom,
that?
Tom, are you one of those nerd guys?
No, not at all.
What's your thing?
I don't know. I guess I'm just like Drew. I'm a man of great passion.
You go, you guys should have some sort of passion off. Yeah.
But anyway,
the
like.
Most passion. But, well, wait a minute. Do you go to school?
I work.
Where do you work?
I'm a waiter at a restaurant.
Yeah, all right. I'm glad to call yourself a waiter, not a server.
Does your girlfriend work there too?
No, she doesn't.
No. All right. So your girlfriend is coming off of a rocky relationship?
Years and years and years ago, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're 21. It seems like a long time for you, but for her, it's not too
well,
far
it was,
back.
She was like 21, 22, something like that. Her kids are like 6 and 7 now.
Yeah.
And
so she got divorced how long ago?
Like before I even knew her, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago.
You've known her five?
So, you know, he's been with her for like 3 years? A year and a half.
A year and a half.
Right. And so anyway, she was with an abusive guy?
Yeah.
All right. Shocking that we knew that, by the way.
Amazing.
Because all the girls that were with the abusive guys always just hook up with young, nice guys because it's a no-pressure situation.
Except when the feelings actually do emerge and you do get connected, then they got to sabotage.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened. Like, we really did connect, like, from...
I know. And now she's got to break it apart. Tom, now is the part where
she's chaotic.
Yeah, now is when she has to break it apart.
Right.
This is that stage.
She's chaotic because her family was chaotic, so she got attracted to the chaotic guy, got married, crapped out the kids, realized it was wrong, he became too abusive, they broke up. She said, I want a nice guy, got a nice guy, and
young Tom from
Fullerton, and then couldn't tolerate it.
Yeah.
Can't handle it.
That's where she's at right now.
But my question was... like, because even the kids, her two boys, like, don't like their dad at all. And they've become, like, really attached to me because, like, I've been a good dad to them for, like, last year and a half. And my question is, like, what kind of effect would it have on them if I were to break it off with them?
Not good, but unfortunately you have, as far as I know, absolutely no say in all this. You can certainly appeal to your girlfriend about this, that I happen to believe that once you're involved in a kid's life like that, you should not be allowed to leave. I mean,
you should be allowed to leave.
Well, I mean, you should at least dedicate 8 years to that child's life.
Eight years?
Yeah, I think the male or female figures moving in and out are extremely destructive to young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in now, and you made sure. You know, here's the problem,
I had a handful of those. You shouldn't
have been such a GD rescuer and gotten yourself involved this way. But you're there now, and there's a responsibility that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tom has got to be in control and intrude on everybody and take care of everybody.
He's in over his head. He's 21. He's got a screwball with some baggage.
Oh, yeah.
Boy's going to end up stabbing him in his sleep in a few years when he gets drunk on some Mickey's Big Mouth after huffing a little copier toner.
Nice.
Here's the point. I don't know. This may want to put a fork in this one.
I think so. Unless it's got to go one way or the other. Either it's going to get married and get some and get her treated, and
right.
too, for being so rescuing.
All right.
And, you know, they might survive.
Listen to this. Remind me to talk about something when we come back. Saw a little thing, a little snippet of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, someone has to explain to people, Scooby-Doo blew when it was a cartoon. Blew heavily.
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 No story.
Blew heavily. All right, but I saw something on Scooby-Doo, and I want to talk about it and get your opinion on it.
Right.
We'll talk about that after this. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Greg Proops in here, comedian Greg Proops, tomorrow night. And then Ethan Zahn from Survivor, one of my favorite survivors in here tomorrow night. That'll be Wednesday, actually. Greg's in here tomorrow. So here's the thing. I saw a movie trailer for Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, it blew heavy chunks when it was a cartoon. A lot of people don't remember this, but it was a horrible cartoon.
Yeah. But as were all the cartoons of the 70s, be fair.
Yeah, some better than others, but this was on the bad side. So anyway, during the trailer, they showed Scooby and Shaggy doing whippets off a whipped cream can. And at first, I wasn't quite sure what it was, but it was just Scooby took a suck off the can and blew his head up.
Wow.
And then Shaggy took a suck off the can. And I thought, hey, wait a minute. This is nitrous oxide.
This is for...
this is how you get high.
Yeah, you're going to show five-year-olds how to do this, eight-year-olds?
Well, yeah, seven- and eight-year-olds.
Wow.
But I thought if I watched this movie and I went home and there was a can of whipped cream in the refrigerator, I would suck off it.
Yeah, I beg your pardon.
Actually, I would... Still, it's not a bad buzz. True, you never...
No.
Nitrous?
No.
Oh, it's great.
Really? Oh, nitrous. Oh, yeah.
Nitrous at the dentist's office is great. Nitrous in the whipped cream
can. Yeah, I remember when you had a
great.
Bad trip at the dentist's office.
I had a bad trip at the dentist's office because he gave me nitrous and he started
about.
Doing a root canal on me. And I had picked out a CD to listen to, and it was a Manhattan Transfer Christmas CD. And I was listening to White Christmas while this guy was scraping away at my roots. And, yeah, I had a bad trip.
Six.
I'm a big enough man to admit it. Nicole?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I wanted to know if girls had wet dreams.
Absolutely.
They do?
Really?
They're not as predictable as a male's. In other words, women have a certain amount of sexual tension and buildup. Men have a specific, almost predictable buildup that has to be relieved.
Yes.
Would I know if I had one, like in the morning or something?
Well, no, okay, let me ask you this. If a girl dreams she has an orgasm,
she's
probably
pretty
much has a wet dream.
Yeah.
Whereas a guy could dream he had an orgasm and not have a wet dream. Now, as a man of exquisite passion, perhaps you couldn't identify with that, Drew.
I think
Drew's going back into the annals of his passion-filled career to figure out, has he ever had a wet dream where he didn't actually produce anything, but actually had a dream he had an orgasm, didn't have an orgasm? Yes. Once in a while you dream you're urinating and don't wet the bed, and once in a while you dream you're orgasming and don't wet the bed.
I'll buy that. But it's hard. Sometimes I think it's hard to tell.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Because the stuffed animal is stuck to me as I get up the next day.
Well, it's obvious when you have had.
I have to.
There's an intermediate zone.
I have to use a flat bar to
get your
get
winky
tigger,
blanket off.
Yeah. Tigger yeah. off the joint. Nicole?
Yeah.
So, have you had a dream where you had an orgasm?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. You know, I've woken up in the morning and stuff has been there, but I didn't know if that's what that was.
What do you mean?
Well, no. Having a wet dream is not just having a discharge. It's having a dream, because it's usually during REM phase. It's during sleep dreaming cycles.
Well,
and so you remember it for the most part. You remember having a sexual dream.
But as a woman, if you don't produce anything when you have an orgasm, then you'll never have any physical manifestation
of it. Yeah, the wet spot
is
sort of irrelevant. It's really more about the dream.
If you had an orgasm when you were awake, would you have moisture?
Yeah.
To the point that you leave something behind?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our calling card.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You know what my calling card is, Drew? An actual calling card. I actually have a calling card. It's interesting.
It says my calling card on
it? Yeah, and I go, my calling card. And it's actually a card.
That says my calling card.
It says my calling card.
On it, yes.
Yeah, that is my calling card.
Yes, sir.
It's a little redundant, but it gets the message across, and then people have your number instead of just putting a Z or a flaming arrow or something, you know what I mean? An actual calling card with a number on it.
Of course.
That's my calling card. All right, so she's okay.
You're fine. Yeah, don't worry about the emission so much as the whether you had the dream with or sexual arousal. If you're having discharge, that should be checked out separately.
All right, Michael?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
Your 18-year-old girlfriend's folks don't like you?
No, they don't.
They disapprove of the age difference?
Yes, they do.
What else do they disapprove of?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. She hasn't really told me in depth the reason what is going on. All I know is that we've been dating for about 3 months here, coming up on Friday. And she's like told her parents, and at first they're like, well, you know, because we were dating, and then she just happened to mention that she is my girlfriend.
All right, then, look, I want to talk about you. What are you doing?
What are you for a living?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
Yes.
As in, why am I dating at 23?
No, how do you support how do you support yourself? Are you going to school?
Oh, I am a full-time nursing student, and I'm a CNA.
Hmm. What's CNA, Drew?
Nursing assistant.
Assistant.
But yeah, I'm just wondering, we are wondering why the folks would object to you. So we're trying to see what kind of case they're building.
Mm. I think the only thing is that I'm 23 and she's 18. Mm. Because I've never talked to them. They never expressed
all right.
that they
want. That's your
I'm
only.
All right. I'm yeah, all right.
That's
with
your
Michael.
Only right, and that's his only move is to try to make a relationship with the folks.
Hey, Michael, though, whatever you do when you're nursing, right. do not wear those white earth shoes, those funky nursing white leather shoes where the toes up higher
they don't
than
have the back to them.
Yeah, that's a clog.
That's kind of cloggy. But
no,
I'm talking about the.
To.
No. Yeah, and in general, do they have to wear those creepy, weird, he-she, hermaphrodite, funky shoes? Hold on a second. Let me say this to you, Drew.
You're looking for comfort, Adam, not style.
Don't guys have enough difficulty who go into the nursing profession actually just being a nurse that you have to further humiliate them with some embarrassing, white, funky shoe? Why not just give them a flowered apron and a candy striper skirt? You know, make them like, lick a giant lollipop and force them to put their hair in ponytails. I mean... The shoe is, like, unnerving. Every time I go to a hospital, it's like... And I think to myself, they really need a special nursing shoe. All they seem to do is walk up and down with clipboards. Occasionally, they shove a thermometer up someone's tuchai. Couldn't they just wear something comfortable?
A lot of them do. They wear, like, a Nike-type shoe, a running shoe. Yeah.
It's the weird leather white ones that are funky, and then it's that sort of unisex cloggy earth shoe, smooth, big bulbous toe.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about. With some laces and just a little bit of color in it. Something that looked like the guy might just throw a crescent kick to the back of your head or take you out with a flying heel or something, you know. Something that smacks of something athletic instead of that weird sort of... These guys are like eunuchs in their weird white shoot outfits. They'd be better off just wearing stiletto heels.
Oh, my God.
Because at least that's a choice. They're caught in some sort of weird sexual netherworld where they're not quite men and they're sure as hell not women. You know what I mean? They're just right in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, think about that, Drew.
I'm thinking.
And let them wear some nice Nikes or New Balance. Can they do that?
Yeah.
They can't.
Seen that.
They can just go. They can go to the Foot Locker and get some high top Jordans.
I'm sure different hospitals have different regulations, but I have seen nurses in nice athletic shoes.
Male nurses,
for sure.
Michael?
Yeah.
Do you get to wear normal nurse shoes that aren't...
I think the major thing about those shoes is the fact that they're totally enclosed, so if you were to spill any type of fluid on your feet, they would not seep into your skin.
How about a nice oil-resistant soled work boot with a steel shank in it, you know?
You know how goofy a work boot would work, like look with scrubs, though?
Nah, I think anything's got to be better than those funky he-she earth shoes.
Supposedly, they're extremely comfortable. Me, I wear New Balances.
What are you worried about seeping into your skin?
Some hobo comes in there and drops a bad load on the...
Use your head. What is it that you're going to get through landing on your skin.
You know, you're
hepatitis.
You're walking down and you spill some, you know, urine on your feet or something. I mean,
who cares?
Happened, I mean, that's what I suspect. That
yeah, but what are you going? What is it you're concerned about contracting that way? I guess you're worried you might track
just
things
the fact
from.
That I'm walking around with, you know, urine in my socks.
Right, you might bring it, take it room to room and stuff. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, come on, Drew, you're a doctor.
I'm trying to figure out what the reasoning is.
Use your brain. Michael?
So, like, yeah.
All right, look, her parents don't know you. You seem like a decent guy. I don't know if they have to like you. She's 18. She can start. Is she going to go to college? What's she going to do?
See, right now, she graduated a year early from high school. She's a CNA, MAT, not an MAT, I'm sorry, a CMA, which is a medical assistant, and she's halfway through her LPN school.
All
after
right.
she gets her LPN and RN, she wants to go to California and get her...
All right, listen, I say BFD. But here's the point. She's over 18. She's an adult now.
Skip,
if you guys are in love and you sound like a decent guy...
That's fine. Word of advice.
Work it out.
Skip the go to California part.
That's right.
Just leave that part
stay
out.
Stay there.
Well, not just stay there. Now that we have enough traffic, enough congestion... the cost of living, the taxation, you don't even imagine what you're getting into.
Yeah. Plus, we're number one on the terrorist hit parade.
Oh, are we now?
I figure we are. I figure they got to go West Coast on this one.
Really?
Well, I got two thoughts about it. One is the terrorists...
They get the United Nations when they hit us.
Terrorists took out the East Coast.
Yeah.
All right. So, as terrorists, you kind of want to show your range.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of want to say to the world... You're not safe wherever you are. So to me, as a terrorist, hitting New York again seems sort of like, well, these guys don't got the legs to make it out to the West
what
Coast.
What about Chicago or Seattle, San Francisco?
The targets of opportunity, but not the crown.
San Francisco would be pretty...
Well, here's my feeling, though. Then I have another feeling. L.A. is really the last bastion of terrorist support. We got all those gay actors out here that do actually sort of sympathize with the terrorists. And the terrorists would probably like to see a nice Democrat in office. That the Martin Sheens of the world and a lot of the actors and a lot of Hollywood support and the Barbara Streisands of the world could probably get into office. Plus, you blow up L.A. You blow up L.A. You blow up downtown L.A. You kill... 15,000 people, you get three whiteys. You don't get a lot of white. You don't get the white guy. White guy's hard to find in L.A. You get everything. You probably get more of your own than you actually... You probably will get more Middle Eastern folks than you'll actually get white people.
Yeah.
So you got a bad white... You got a bad white count here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad thing. Although you got that in New York, too, but you blow up the financial center, and you get higher.
Right.
I'm not sure who they're interested in killing, but I'm guessing... Their ideal thing would be, you know, blue-eyed, blonde-haired people, right?
They want our airport, too. They like that.
They like the airport.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you terrorists, you don't want to piss off all the sort of bleeding heart liberal actor types out here who you piss them off, they may vote Republican, and next thing you know, they're coming after you.
Pow.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's your last area of support. We have, like, rallies for you guys out here. Come on, we're your friends, you know. And then the rest of the L.A. people are just sort of indifferent people that snuck over here in a tunnel or an inner tube or something and don't necessarily even know where you are.
Right.
We're not your enemy. Yeah, folks on Chicago. I agree with Drew. San Francisco, I agree with Drew. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah, it's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. Dr. Drew's talking to the old ball and chain over there. Trying to get off the phone. Yeah, God bless women. Yeah. 30 seconds ago, I gotta go. Okay, I gotta go. No, show's starting. Gotta go. I gotta go. I got radio. Gotta go. Okay, what is it? Now, here's how it works. And listen, women.
And I said, by the way, our boss is here.
Women. women.
By the way.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Listen, Loveline. All right. Here's the thing about women. Women are like old people. They, you know, when I tell my grandma someone's on the other line, it sort of half registers, but it doesn't. They're sort of like kids and old people in that, well, okay, there's somebody else who's exists on the planet, and you're telling me about this other person, but it still doesn't really supersede me. Like, I still got whatever I got to work out. Like, you know, when you tell like a 7-year-old kid, okay, now. You've played with the toy long enough. Let's let the other Well, I think the 8-year-old understands the concept, but doesn't really mean S to him.
Uh-huh.
He's still not done. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
He understands it, but he's still going to, give it back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Chick's got a little of that in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. What'd she need? Nothing? Nothing. All right. Let's take a little woodworking question.
Fantastic.
Drew. Give you a little break. Laura?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yes.
I'd break it up tonight and take a woodworking question. What do you got?
Okay. Do you ever watch Norm Avery on Yankee Workshop?
Norm Abram.
For real?
No, we never heard of him. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
For real? You've never heard of him?
Okay. I'm telling you how to pronounce his name correctly.
Okay, anyway, on his show, he wipes the glue from the joints after he glues two joints together.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if you knew what the correct way to do that was.
Okay, has woodworking question about hanging doors is what the thing says.
Is there a door
by
hanging
the way.
Part to this?
You have a, is there a door hanging component to this question?
No.
Okay, so you watch New Yankee Workshop, and you're going to call me and quiz me on how Norm, he dampens a rag and wipes the excess glue off before he joins the stuff.
Right, I was wondering if you knew what the correct way to do it is.
Oh, you take a damp rag and you wipe it off, or you let it dry and you take a chisel to it and you don't draw it into the grain.
Now, this is wonderful.
Or you tell me.
That's right, the chisel part.
Okay, thank you. Jeez, okay, that's it. I'm never talking to anyone ever again. First off, the only reason I talked to her is because it said they had a question about hanging doors, which is my specialty and it goes straight forward. She thought she would quiz me about a guy who she's such a big fan of, she can't pronounce his goddamn name. Norm Avery. And then is confused when I'm telling her six times. Okay, no, I can't. Yeah, I can't.
Jen, 25.
Yes.
What's up?
Hi.
Yeah.
What's going on?
God, our caller's stupid. They're not only stupid, they're annoying. You know, they're it's one thing just to be stupid. There's friendly stupid.
Stunoying.
There's happy. It's annoying. Yeah, they're stupid and annoying. Like, Labradors are stupid. I love them.
Yeah.
These aren't Labradors. These are like stupid Chihuahuas. Nothing to like.
What's going on, Jen?
Well, I'm 25, and I have only dated men up until...
And by the way,
blah, blah, blah.
Her question was, how does Norm wipe off the glue? Wipe off. And
wipe
the
off
answer
the excess
is...
glue.
Yeah, how's he wipe off that? Well, he doesn't. He lets it dry and he takes a chisel to it. But when you say, how does he wipe it off? Well, I'm going to tell you how he would wipe it off, which he does do on occasion with a damp rag.
Put it behind us. Jen, 25. Yes, so
Hi.
You date men.
So, yes, and I was really burned by almost every single relationship. And then recently I stopped dating men. I stopped dating at all.
What's it called being... brutalized. When women get brutalized by men, sometimes they will cross over.
Yeah.
Well,
wish I had that option.
That's my question. Is it a conscious decision that I've started dating a woman now? I mean...
I don't know. It's a conscious decision. You know, there's a lot of roads where you are. Some of it is a preference. Some of it is a commitment. Some of it is just getting tired of being brutalized. And,
well, what does she mean? Is it a conscious
decision?
Well,
she
decision?
Means... It's nature.
She thinks it's a nature awakened in her?
No, right, because you see so much stuff about it being biologically predetermined and all this kind of stuff.
No, but women are more fluid
Much more fluid, yes. Women
they're flexible.
Yes. And that is biologically predetermined.
Yeah.
Then my okay, and that I can understand, and that's been my sense of the situation. But then it's really weird interacting. I find myself able to kind of get along better with my male friends now. If I can get past the whole initial, they seem to think of it as being a fling, and they really kind of degradate the whole situation. They act like they wish they could watch, and, you know, I mean, they joke, which is one thing, but then sometimes I get the feeling they really mean it, and they just don't believe me.
Well, here's the deal. All right. The reason you've been brutalized by men is because first you're brutalized by dad, and so you have a certain attraction to jerk guys, and you're keeping those kinds of guys around,
yeah,
even though you're not getting sexual.
You surround yourself with a-holes, and then you lay down little morsels to entice them, and of course they want to come watch, and they make offhanded, crude remarks.
Right. Not every guy will be that way, but you like that kind of guy, and so you keep him around.
And there's something about the action that it creates,
the
and the feelings of the drama that you're compelled to go back to.
Right.
It's not about liking it. I mean,
well,
people
don't
like heroin.
It's
and
an attraction. It's a motivational priority in their life.
Yeah, and a moth doesn't like a porch light. It just goes to it and then dies.
Okay.
All right,
Jen. Well, then,
so stop hanging out with those guys.
Well, I mean, they're not. They're my friends. You know, I mean, these aren't guys that I've actually
Well, then forget it then. What are you going to do?
I didn't know they were your friends.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't explain that well enough.
No, we're kidding. Stop hanging out with people. I don't care that you've labeled idiots your friends at one point in time. They're not your friends if they don't treat you with respect.
And you think, so your argument is that if they're making comments like that, that that's being disrespectful. So I have a legitimate beef.
No.
Here it comes,
by the way. You feel it coming?
No. Just listen, Jen. Here's the thing. Tell your so-called friends that you don't find it respectful and you find it hurtful and you wish they would stop saying it. And then if they continue, feel free to not hang out with them anymore.
Because they are not, they don't care about you. If they cannot, if they cannot acknowledge your feelings and respect them and appreciate what your feelings actually are, those are not your friends.
Friend is it's an ongoing thing you have to earn, not on a daily basis, but bi-monthly.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty then. Let's get to the phones. What do you say, buddy?
All right.
Try to help them kitties?
Let's go.
All right. We got a Germany or Florida up here. We got a real woodworking question. Let's see if I can bounce back.
All right.
Amanda?
Yes.
20 years of age?
Yep.
A real woodworking question. Go ahead.
Yes. I do stained glass as a hobby, and right now I don't have a workshop set up. I have a garage, and I wanted to know what tools that I should use and what types of wood and thickness and everything that I should use for a waist-high table to hold the stained glass pieces I'm currently working on and cutting and soldering and such.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
You want to make a little work stand for yourself.
Yeah. Yes, and I care. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hobby.
Yeah. A lesbian.
True, please. Is that true?
No.
Lesbian? No?
No.
You never make a stained glass like Pegasus or Unicorn, have you?
No.
No. Anything, any weird like Led Zeppelin band member signs or anything like that?
No, I think the strangest thing I've ever done was a Seder.
Mm-hmm. Is that some Jewish thing?
Yeah, so you sit down around Passover. Oh, no, wait a minute. I think it's a half goat, half man.
Ah, half goat,
Your
half
husband.
Man. I thought that was a centaur.
No, the centaur is horse and man.
Oh, the satyr is the goat and man?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? You got to feel like you've been screwed when you could have been a centaur, but instead you're a satyr. Could have been half horse, half man, instead half goat, half man. I crap pellets instead of big, proud, noble chips, you know?
Think about apples, please.
Think about the difference between horse crap and goat crap.
That's nice. That's a nice thought.
Goat crap's just...
Raisins.
It's just raisins, and this other thing's just this sort of proud
mammoth
pyramid of Duke. All right. Here's what I would do, in all honesty. Amanda.
Yeah?
Go to your local home center and just get one of those work tables, those fold-out workbench-type things. They're cheap, they're strong, they work, and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then get yourself a piece of 3/4-inch plywood and put that on top of it. And you can mount it with a couple of screws from underneath, and that way you could take it off, fold the thing down, move it. If the plywood got effed up enough, you could flip it over. You know what I mean? You have your base, which is a good solid base, pretty cheap, $35-40, and you get this piece of plywood you put on top. You could constantly rotate it as you eff it up.
I'm realizing I don't think Brian knows what you mean by woodworking.
Now,
let's put it under construction.
Listen. I'm done.
Okay.
Thank you, Amanda. Sounds like a nice girl, but I've asked hundreds of times on this show. Give me a good woodworking question.
Give me a construction question.
Yeah, I don't know how else to say. If I say construction, we get a roofing question.
Or we get a skyscraper question.
Right. And then every time I complain, and then every time I get a less...
What a residential construction question. Yeah?
Well, I don't care anymore. Yeah. I don't need anymore. Listen, here's what happens.
Hey, what do you want from me? These girls are 20 years old. That's our listening audience. What do they know about woodworking?
Don't take it then. That's what I want from you. Snappy Brian. Hey, listen, Brian, we're going to knock you down to $5 an hour. Down from $5.50. Quit your complaining. Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Drew.
Yeah.
Every 22 days, I just decide to break it up a little. Do something a little bit different.
Okay.
It never works. I've learned my lesson. I'm done trying.
That's right.
You understand? I am like a teacher at a horrible inner city school that tried to make a difference, and now I realize, I'm just going to do some warehousing of these gang members, get my paycheck, and go home.
There you go.
I'm looking out for number one. Smoke a few butts during my off period, eat a little something from the vending machine, get the TAs to grade my papers, and I'm out of here.
Fair enough.
Hopefully transfer to a nice white private school.
That's you.
That's me. That's the new me. The old me. The old me cared. Carlos?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes.
You're talking to the new Adam.
How's it going?
Well, the
He's
new
very
Adam.
He's excited about talking to the new Adam. Look at
He's
that.
Indifferent. He has got no problems. What's he care? Get his paycheck and go home.
What's up, Carlos?
I had some past relationships where, I had one night stands, a lot of alcohol, marijuana, whatever drug I can pretty much get to, and I slept with about 9 women, and now it's been about 3 years since that whole chaotic period, and I'm pretty much, I can't approach a woman anymore. I feel like they look at me and they see the guilt. Like, I feel the guilt and shame. Like, they can already see it before I even say a word to them.
What are you talking about?
I wish I could get through this.
I don't know what you mean. Are you a religious person?
No, I'm not religious, but I want to be a good person, and, I have a lot of guilt about what I've done to these women.
Are you
a
Mormon?
You know?
Did you rape somebody? What'd you do?
No, it was just, I guess it was immoral.
No. All right. You had consenting sex with other adults, right?
Yes,
All right.
Why is that
fine.
Immoral?
I have a lot of guilt about it, though.
Are you a Mormon?
A lot of shame. No, I'm not religious.
1,000%.
Yeah, Anderson's 1,000% on his drop. Hey, listen, Carlos, you're not religious. You didn't rape anybody. They were adults and they were consenting. Why don't you get over it? It sounds like the beginnings of depression.
I was
going to
say, sometimes depression, you can feel very, very guilty when depression really gets going. And that sounds like where you're at, Carlos.
Yeah. You're
so
fine.
You might want to get that evaluated.
You're 23. You got laid a couple of times in your early 20s, and you settled in.
Here's a more meaningful
relationship.
Here's more what I hear. I don't know what drugs you did, but sometimes they can deplete the chemicals in the brain and can predispose you to depression. And or if you had gotten addicted and strung out, and now you're trying to do without drugs, but you're still an addict, but not in a 12-step program, that's a great way to precipitate a real severe depression.
Mm-hmm.
So all this crazy thinking is just thinking. It's not reality. It's a feeling state you're in because of the depression.
All right. And let me say this, too, everybody. All you who have done wrong or felt that you've done wrong or done somebody wrong, feel free to make up for it by volunteering at the senior citizens' home or giving some money to the Jerry's Kid bucket at the 7-Eleven. There's a lot of people walking around out there that don't feel good about some of the things they did in the past. Well, obviously, you can't build a time machine and go back and undo those things. I don't have a crystal ball, Drew, but if I did, I'd know you couldn't build a time machine.
Wow.
And go back and undo those things. But at the end of the day, say I worked in not having a crystal ball and the end of the day.
We'll get your calling card in there.
And my calling card is my calling card. But here's the thing. You can't go back and fix these things. These people are gone, and there's no one doing it. Feel free to live a righteous life from this point on. And by the way, that will make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets so consumed with going back and doing something. I think they get consumed with it because they can't do anything about it. The real work is ahead of you. Go volunteer over here. Go start leading a more honest life. Be a better employee. Be a better son. Be a better father. Be a better boyfriend, husband, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's absolutely. The work. Go ahead and do it.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm not going to do it, but do it.
Well, for those people that do feel guilt and want to get better.
I don't feel any remorse.
I know that.
I'm a serial killer. Jamie?
Hello?
You're a robot, Ed. I'm not a serial killer. A little bit different.
If you could program a robot to serial kill.
You'd be that.
Yes. I am an atheist robot serial killer.
Nice.
I'm a remorseless napping and whacking machine.
It's quite a moniker you've got there.
Yes. The only god I kneel to is TiVo.
Ah, good times.
Jamie?
Hello?
You're 24?
Yeah, it's Jamie. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
I said Jamie, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What
did you think I said?
I thought you said Amy.
Ah. Okay. All right.
So,
what's up?
I guess I'll start with my...
Yeah, I don't like her.
No, she's nice.
It's like in Germany or Florida. I don't like someone who corrects me on their name when I say their name. It means they're looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You want trouble, Missy? You found it. It's right here. I'm a atheist serial killer robot. I don't like that. Greg?
Yeah.
Germany or Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah. This right. game is sweeping the nation, by the way. Let's hear the theme jingle, Anderson, please.
Things are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex myth and death fetishes, both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you, Germany or Florida.
All right, Greg, go ahead.
All right. Authorities detained a 36-year-old homeless man after he tried to shower in a car wash last August. The car wash owner spotted the would-be bather standing naked by the brushes and hoses, looking for the on switch. He was arrested before he found it. It wasn't a great idea, said the police spokesman. He could have been coated in car wax, scalded by hot water, or rubbed raw by brushes.
Mm-hmm.
Or he could have come out with a sparkling shine.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to go with Florida.
Kind of novelty humor, the kind of goofy.
Yeah.
Florida.
Florida?
Yeah.
We're going Florida, Greg.
All right, Germany.
Oh. No! It's a damn lie, and you know it!
Yeah,
you know, those guys are such fanatics about their automobiles over there. I think all their car washes would be hand car washed and
too.
Brushless.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Adam,
wow. Yeah.
I'm the one who called a little while ago about my friend's dad growing up with you.
I don't remember that call.
Anyway, it must have been quite a little while ago.
Yeah, it was probably a month or two ago.
All right.
Or maybe a year ago. Anyway, so how's it going?
Good.
Okay.
And, Drew, I'm trying to get through your book. I mean, I haven't really had time to read it, but it's good so far.
Sure.
Well, thank you.
I know. You're busy. You're 16. You're popping zits. You're watching the OC.
Degrassi.
And you're beating off to your stepsister. Anyway, a very hectic schedule.
Yes.
Go get Drew's book, would you?
He got it. He's reading it.
I have it.
No, I don't think he's got it yet.
It was a Christmas present.
It was a Christmas present? You haven't gotten around to reading it yet?
Well, no, I'm like sort of, I'm like chapter 3 or something like
All
that.
All right, let's focus, brother. That book's going to help you. All right, bud.
All right.
Thanks. Kid's got the gift of gab. All right, I'm willing to get back to Jamie now. Jamie?
Hi.
You're 24?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right, baby doll. What's your question?
Well, I've got a little girl. She's a year old, and I'm with her dad. He's 38. We're not married. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question, I'm having a pretty serious predicament, I guess, whether to stay with him or not, and actually move out and get my own one-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. He's kind of, we've been together about 2 years now. He's a little older than me. I'm not sure if you guys could tell with their with your equipment, but he's 38 and I'm 24.
Yeah. Well, you said you
told us that.
When you say our equipment, you mean our ears, right?
I don't know what you guys see because they asked me, you know, how old he was, and I don't know if they type it in. You guys can see everything on that.
Well, you said 33 seconds ago that you were 24 and he was 28.
38.
38.
Okay.
Yeah.
You told us that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm nervous.
That's all right, baby doll. Go ahead.
Okay, well, anyways. So he's been, I guess, semi-kind of abusive to me a couple times. Mm-hmm. He threw food at me once. Mm-hmm. And he...
What kind of food?
Hamburger.
If it's good food, you know, I got no beef with that. You know what I mean? Like someone wants to throw some brisket my way, Drew.
That's fine with you.
And like asparagus or something.
That's right.
But you throw like SpaghettiOs at me, I'm pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Chef ravioli would be the ultimate.
That's fighting food.
Sleeping with a fish.
Yeah. All right, so he threw food at you.
Yeah, that was one incident. I thought that was pretty bad.
Here's the thing. A 38-year-old guy... If you guys were drunk and he was 24 too, and you got into a huge blowout at 3 in the morning and he found out you got it on with his friend and he threw his In-N-Out burger at you.
That's
something.
Midday thing. We were doing a family event kind of thing and he got mad and threw his food at me.
All right.
That's bizarre.
What's he... And by the way... You know, I see these, like, you see these footage at ball games with guys chucking their beers at the outfielder and people just chucking food and stuff. And I always think to myself, hey, that beer is $8. Like, if I got a beer in my hand or I got a burger in my hand, I'm throwing it at my mouth. I don't care who I'm with. I don't care how angry I ever get with them. I would punch them, but this whole idea of chucking something yummy always seems like a bad plan
bad
to me.
Plan, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I keep the SpaghettiOs with me.
Nice.
All right, so can we hear Jamie or is her phone screwed up?
She's there.
Jamie.
My phone screwed up?
No, I think it's ours.
Okay.
So here's the thing. How else has he been abusive to you?
Well, what does it matter? He's abusive.
Well, he threw a hamburger.
It's
not Ted Bundy.
Besides all that, he's treated me a lot better than, I guess, my other past relationships. I've had, some experience and he's always been, like, opening my doors and...
All right, look, I asked you how else he abused you, not how he is relative to your past relationships.
Other severely abusive boyfriends.
Yeah, how else has he abused you?
He's called me some pretty nasty names. Mm. He hasn't physically hit me, but he's grabbed me, like, my arm pretty hard, and he tried to kind of push me out the door one time.
Hang a second.
So far, you got nothing, really,
Jamie,
other than
you
he's
sound
just...
so alone to me.
I sound alone?
Alone, like
I'm
like
really,
you are...
really nervous. I can't believe I'm talking to you guys right now.
No, but I don't mean alone in a room at this moment. I mean, like you're alone in the world.
I just don't know what to do. I mean, honestly, I do not know.
Hold on.
You know what I'm saying? Doesn't she sound like this is a woman who's supposed to? This is her partner. And they have a child together, and she's talking about him like she's talking about a neighbor or something. And there's nobody else in the picture. She doesn't mention, my friends advise me, my mom says it. It's like, it's me and this one-year-old, and then what am I going to do with the guy?
Yeah.
He's abusive. I can't move. I can't afford to move. I can't get out of here. It's like talking about a neighbor.
Right.
Why so alone?
Jamie.
Before you guys hang up on me, I'm sorry. I think a lot of this has to do with how nervous I am.
But why do you sound so alone? Where's your family of origin?
My family's here, and my family has given me... I mean, they're kind of like whatever you want to do. They like him because he's been really respectful to the family and to me in front of them. But yeah. I've also called them crying on these times, and so they know... They're kind of like, James, whatever you want to do, we're going to support you type of thing. And my friends, my girlfriends, of course... they're kind of like, I mean, they're nice to him when he's around, but they also know that I've come talking to them like, oh my God, what am I going to do, you guys? And they want me to move out. I've put a deposit down on a place, a one bedroom, and I'm like,
okay, hold on, quiet.
Okay.
All right, now listen, just take a breath and let your mind slide out between your ears for a second. Just relax. You don't have to perform. Just let your guard down. It's okay.
Okay.
Okay, what does he do for a living?
He works for the state. I probably shouldn't get into it. He has a good job.
All right. Is he a cop?
No.
Okay.
Is he like a government official?
He works really funny hours. He's working graveyards right now, so that's half the reason why.
Here's the thing. Okay.
What graveyard shift is it for the state? That's not a police.
Unless
it's
IRS. No one has a really good job who works graveyard. Oh wait a minute. Where are we?
This isn't a graveyard. This is a swing.
This is swing?
Yeah.
Feels like a graveyard.
Yeah.
Smells like a goddamn graveyard in here. What is going on with the funkitude in the hallways in here? Something's going on. What's going on? Chris, what? How much food is over there?
The funkitude?
Drew,
it's a whole plate.
Well, what? Drew should either be eating that or we should throw it away or maybe both.
Is that yours, Chris? This is dinner. No.
No. And someone just left food
here,
so
Italian,
it stinks.
The Italian tray you were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, the cursed foil Italian tray. Okay, listen. I don't understand. I don't completely understand this call. He doesn't sound abusive. It doesn't sound like she's got a good read on him. He doesn't sound like a great guy. On the other hand, they have a kid. She's very sort of casually thinking, well, I think I'll just take the kid and move out. She doesn't seem like she's in love with him.
Not connected.
On the other hand, her grabbing his arm, she sounds like she's filled with peanut shells. Yeah. All right, she needs to get some therapy. How about that? You have a supportive family. How about you get a little therapy on behalf of your kid? How about you tell this guy you're very serious about breaking up unless he gets some therapy, and you guys come together and start acting like a couple to raise your one-year-old instead of just sort of flighty, he grabbed my arm, I think I'm going to leave.
Well, that disconnectedness. That's the aloneness I'm feeling. It's like there's just no there, right? There's no relationship.
Yes, get some therapy, all of you. Get some therapy so you don't screw up your kids. Look, you know how you're screwed up? That's what you're doing to your kids. You got screwed up. Now you're screwing the kids up. Get a little therapy, fix yourself, and don't rub your poison all over the kids.
There you go.
Believe me, your kids will be screwed up anyway. Just not as screwed up as they would be if you got some therapy. Natalie?
Hello?
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
You're on coke, pot, and booze?
I'm on a lot of stuff, yeah.
You're out of control.
Pretty much. I'm pretty much at the end of my rope.
All right. Well, what should she do, Drew?
Time to get some treatment. Time to get better.
There's like a problem. I mean, I've been through treatment. I went through treatment when I was 19 because I had a suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents think everything's fine. I'm in school. I work. I live in a great
neighborhood. Hang on a second. So at the age of 19, you embraced treatment wholeheartedly. You got a sponsor, worked 12 mm-hmm. steps, spent 3 months mm-hmm. at a sober living.
No, lived Dr. Sober... Drew. No, Dr. Drew, I did not do that. I dropped
okay.
out.
Okay, so why do you even consider that treatment? That's you went and attended something. You weren't participating in treatment.
And
how about now you participate in treatment?
And it was forced because of your suicide attempt, right?
Right. How about we get better? How about you deal with this thing that is now so completely out of control?
Yeah, and you're supposed to fail a few times.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works.
Well,
but
it takes a while before people get it many times.
Well, what's the percentage of people who try to get, you know, it's like there's something for quitting smoking 3.5 times or whatever the hell it is.
There is no such sort of equation, but I can tell you it's when people who are addicted finally believe that they're going to die if they keep going down the road they're on. They have abject terror of the situation they're in. That's when they're ready to work.
All right.
And you're about there. So there's a lot of good programs down there in Anaheim, and call one and go now.
All right.
That's it. Very simple.
Tonight. Really?
Absolutely. The hospital. What?
In the middle of the night.
Hey, listen, now is when she's feeling that way. In the morning, she'll kind of, I'm okay. I have control of it now.
She'll
have to go till the next time that she takes it even lower.
Mm-hmm.
When you're thinking about going, you got to go now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Let me say this, Drew.
About this.
You know, apropos of nothing, but the... you know the packaging we're using now to put things like when you buy a stapler, comes in that sort of hard plastic.
Yes, so you have to get a knife
thing.
Out to...
And here's what usually happens: the transformation from David Banner to the Hulk takes place in trying to get the thing out. It starts with a little prying, light prying. I'm going to grab it at the seam and pop it open. Then that goes into a little tearing. Then the teeth get involved. Now the knife starts coming in. And the knife, it gets a little dangerous because now there's some jabbing and some
sawing.
Hacking
and
some sawing and some ripping. Uh-huh. Now the thing gets pulled open. Still, you got to get your fingers in there and start...
And tear your fingers up.
And tear your fingers because a serrated knife is now made a sharp tuna can-like edge on the thing. And I'm just saying, can we do any better than this? Is there... first off, who decided... that this is how everything needed to be packaged, everything from, you know, staplers to universal remote controls to the little, I was taking one of those sink, those plungers you put in your sink that has a little soap thing in it. You know, everything is packaged this way. It's just super rigid, clear plastic. And by the way, could you put a tab or put a little red corner, put a little rip zone? Or how about after you purchase the thing, you run some sort of scanner, or you clip the edge, or you serrate it, or you do something that lets you open it? Because here's the thing. I imagine they do it so people don't steal the items. Although, once you get the thing open, you still got a stapler to shove down your pants. You know what I mean? It's not that much bigger than the actual item.
Yeah.
And there's no good way that I know to get that open that doesn't involve an acetylene cutting rig. And someone's going to kill themselves. As a matter of fact, I'm sure there are hundreds of maybe thousands of trips to the emergency room every year with people poking knives. I start hacking and tearing, inevitably get frustrated and start yanking and ripping at this stuff. It will not come undone. Now, Drew, how do we get this open? What do we do? Who do I write a goddamn letter to?
Oh, letters.
Chris, take a letter. Take the letter P and get the hell out of here. All right, somebody call us and tell us how you get these things open.
Oh, you mean there's actually a way to do it? I can't even imagine.
I can't imagine that you just have at it with a butcher knife.
Every time I have to deal with one of those packages, I have to do that. I have to do that with CDs.
Yeah, well, CDs are tough, but these are impervious to anything other than flame.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's the good doctor, Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Yahoo.
All right.
Here we go.
Drew's doing some thinking. He's punching his mic. He's all over the place tonight. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Take a chill pill, huh?
All right, dude, I will.
Let's go now. Hey.
Hello?
Jody.
Hi.
Calling from Anchorage?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's get a hand in now. Break it down now. Yeah. Grab an E. Don't sit on your helmet. That's not a chair. Helmet's not a chair.
Ladies.
Let's go, ladies. Hey, gentlemen. I use that term loosely. Get a hand in. Let's go now. Let's break it down, Jody. What's going on now? What's your problem now?
I can't do it to rap.
Ain't rap. We're breaking it down.
Oh, okay. My problem is this. I've been dating this really great guy for 3 years, and we started living together.
Dating a dreamboat.
Yeah.
36 months. Let's go now.
Alaskan dreamboat.
It's snowing right
now. Smells of herring. Let's go now. Break it down.
All right. And I have a really bad snoring problem. Like, really.
Morbidly obese. Sleep apnea. Heart stops middle of the night. Yeah.
And he's been really nice about it and everything, but I found that...
Low self-esteem. Can't score in Alaska. Not too many chicks that would have him. Yeah.
But I found... earplugs under his bed.
Wow.
Yeah. And he sometimes sleeps out on the couch and stuff, but he's, you know, he would never be mean about it. And I'm just wondering if there's anything. We're both college students and we're actors, so we're really poor. And
acting in Anchorage, Alaska. Plenty of work doing seal blubber commercials. Yeah. And modeling fur for Eskimos. Yeah. What the hell kind of acting can you do in Alaska?
Community theater.
Yo.
Is that where you're from?
No, I'm from all over. My parents were military. But I just wanted to know if there's anything that's like, besides the nasal strips, if there's anything besides surgery that I could do to not snore.
You really big gal?
Bad. What?
How much you weigh? You big?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I guess I'm like 145-ish.
How tall are you?
Huh?
How tall are you? 5'2".
I'm round.
You're fat. So you could lose some weight. That's definitely
Hold on.
Something.
Let me do the radio math. 5'2", 145. What's 2 times 7, Drew?
14.
14. 2 times 7 is 14. And then 20 minus 6.
14.
Okay. And 3 times 4 and...
All right, what? What's okay. the weight?
All right. I got it. She is 5'1 mm-hmm. and 5'16 mm-hmm. and 154.
Okay. Good times.
Let's get back to Jody. Oh, her name's Jody.
Yeah.
Make it 161. Jody's a that's a big gal's name. All right, Jody.
Hi.
Hi, baby doll. Okay, so we can probably lose a couple of pounds.
Mm-hmm. And for some people, depending on how your weight's distributed, getting your body weight down can make a huge difference
really?
In your sleep. Yeah.
She's not big and fat.
No, she's not. But some people are very sensitive to this. I'm not saying it necessarily is going to work for you, but your body has a way, one's body has a way of saying, ouch, when you're sort of carrying on extra weight. Some people are very sensitive.
Now,
pressure
about,
goes up.
How about this? If I sleep on my back, I'll snore.
So you've got the nose problem.
Oh, but why would that do it on my back? You know
your
what I mean?
Palate falls back. Your tongue and your palate fall back against
oh.
the back. Yeah. And you try
okay.
to breathe in.
Well,
pow.
But all I'm saying with Jody.
She could roll over, yes.
Jody, how do you sleep?
He says I toss and turn a lot. Like I'm really fitful.
Yeah, it all sounds like
right,
you have a sleep problem. You have anything else going on sleep-wise? Any other medical problems?
But hold on a second. No. What position do you sleep in?
What
position do you sleep in?
I usually sleep like in the fetal position on my side.
All right. If you sleep on your back, maybe you won't. Although back is probably the big snoring position.
Yeah, that's prime snoring.
Okay, well, listen.
Any other medical problems, Jody?
No.
Nothing.
All right, why don't you
no
try
meds.
Losing the weights and use the breathe right?
Are you drinking a lot? Alcohol?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Any medication, anything of that sort?
Mm-mm, just breath control.
Use the breathe right strip and have him put his earplugs in. And here's something, by the way. I wasn't aware of until recently. A friend of mine taught me this trick. I've used earplugs many times before. You got to roll them. Yeah. I didn't know that.
To pack them in.
Yeah, when you take the earplug, the foam variety, and you just sort of stuff them in your ears, they work all right. But roll them up and stuff them in and have them expand in there, and all of a sudden they work about 500 times better.
Then she should actually have a sleep study.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... There you go.
What do they have? And like I imagine, like in Alaska, the sleep studies, like a shaman comes around.
Rattle.
And he's got that big furry hood over his head, lays you down. You put you in like an igloo and burn some ceremonial incense.
Rubs you down with some seal blubber.
Some seal blubber. Yache! Nanakaya! Yanahaya! Kagacha! Is that laid
that's it.
Down?
Yeah,
that's it. It smokes you. Nenache. Nenache chicka. Yaya nanana chicka. Nanayawa. Tachijama. Turn Japanese at the very end of that. I do speak to my wife in
tongues?
Yeah, every once in a while.
She must love that.
It should be like. Listen, as long as you're going out, why don't you take the garbage in? Well, what do you mean? I took it out last. Yeah, hit you now. They're like, she'll start talking back to me.
In tongue?
No, she speaks English.
She responds in English.
It's like a bilingual family.
Nice.
When the kid is answering in Spanish and the mom's arguing in English or vice versa, you know. She actually don't know. You'll know. So you know through inflection what I'm saying.
Yes,
you know, so I'd be like, touch that in the heck, why should I do it? You're going that way. Yeah, hey, no, I gotcha. And just be like, all right. Actually, I have whole conversations with people.
Oh, my God.
They speak American gibberish, and they speak English.
They speak North American gibberish.
Watch. Okay. We'll talk to
Derek.
Derek. Yetcha. Yanacheka. Geneva.
Derek.
Checheka.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Tanacheka. Tanache.
Hello.
Yanakakache. Nana.
Hello.
Nanache.
Derek.
Yeah.
I don't speak North American gibberish.
No, no, yeah. See, it doesn't work.
No.
All right. But, Drew, if you talk.
Nice try, though, yeah. All right, Derek, what's up?
I've been in this relationship for 3 years now, and for about a year and a half, 2 years now, I've been having this, I don't know if I want to get out of the relationship or what's going on. I feel like I haven't ever been able to be myself. Since I turned 18, pretty much, I've been supporting somebody else, and I've never had been able to go out and do my own thing.
Who have you been supporting?
At first my wife, and then after she left me, I met this girl about 3 months later, and we've been together about 3 years now.
What do you mean you're supporting her?
Huh?
What do you mean you're supporting her?
That's it.
Well, I mean, I'm the only one working.
That's not a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship. It's some sort of codependent.
What?
It's not a healthy situation. Look, you're 23. You want to go out and date and be by yourself. That's fine. It's normal. What's not normal is to get involved in relationships where you're supporting somebody who you're not married to. It's not a familial relationship. Familial.
One of the main reasons we're not married is because I haven't been able to afford to get my divorce yet.
I want you to know that's what people hear all night.
Yeah. All right.
Listen, but you're not going to get you're not going to marry her when you get a divorce because you don't want to be married.
Right? In a roundabout way, yeah.
Not a roundabout way. You better start getting honest
about
this.
Look, do you have any kids?
Well, no, but she's pregnant now.
Well, that's it. You just cashed in your independence.
We've been trying for a while. She had 2 miscarriages last year.
All right, Derek, forget the independence thing. You're trying. You're volitionally engaging in creating a family. You relinquish your right to be independent at that point. That's it. You cashed it in. Now deal with it. That's all.
Hey, listen, Derek. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing now, brother. Now that you're having the kid you're in. Now, look, you can torture yourself and think what if, what could be, what you could have done. First off, believe me, it's not like you're a Pierce Brosnan. You're not going to be walking around on the French Riviera getting late. You're going to be scraping up some skank from a truck stop or something, probably getting a venereal disease.
I'm a truck driver, thanks.
Shocking. Here's the other thing. It does not say he's a truck driver on the screen, but I know when a man's got diesel in his blood, and I can smell that pine tree that they use, so the cab of the 18-wheeler doesn't smell like ass. So here's the thing, Derek. Do not torture yourself. You're not going to do any better than this chick. You chose this chick. You were married before. You got divorced. Now you've chose to set up a camp with another woman. Good. You got her pregnant. You tried to get her pregnant. You're in.
That's it.
And look, I don't know what it is with these guys that are, Derek is 23. When I was 23, I was just thinking about what kind of car I was going to get one day. Maybe it'll have air conditioning.
Trying to get pregnant.
This idea that you've been divorced already. Now you want some freedom. So you hook up with some other chick. She has a couple of miscarriages. You're trying to get her pregnant. What is that? And then... now you're going to get married because of the kid, and then you're going to feel like that's the only reason you were there. Yeah. Don't do that to yourself. Yeah. You're there because you love her. You're trying to get her pregnant because you love her, and you're going to love your child. So be it.
There you go.
All right? Pick up a little skank on the road, driving the 18-wheeler. Do a nice rail of that no-dose. You have a nice little outlet for yourself.
Oh, my God.
Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Forget about that phone number. Know what I'm saying? Ethan Zahn is coming in here. Hey, I don't know why I shouldn't say his last name. Just Ethan from Survivor. One of my favorite shows. Never miss those Survivor.
How'd that All-Star Survivor turn out?
The It's still going on, goofball. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I keep telling you to watch the show. No, Drew won't do it. Mm-hmm. It's too important with his medical degree and his magazines or this fancy words that have more than one sound.
The books, right?
That I think they're called syllables in each word. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good time.
Not like the and Ed and Bob. It's like words that have like more than one sound put together. You know, like
Sacramento.
Yeah, that's two, right?
Yeah.
Sacramento. Two. All right, let's talk to Blake. Poor kid's 407 pounds.
Hey, Blake? Adam. Hey, Dr. Drew. How you guys doing?
Blake, we're good.
What's happening?
All right, here's my situation. I'm 20 years old. I used to play football in high school. I ain't playing football no more. And I've been putting the weight on. I'm 6'3", so I have a big frame, but I weigh 407 pounds now.
Mm-hmm. Why aren't you playing football anymore?
It's done with
I tore my ACL my sophomore year, so it kind of... I played two more years after that, but I wasn't good enough to go on.
Okay.
And I just have, like, no control over my weight, and so I'm starting this program. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Dr. Drew. It's called OptiFast. And what it is, it's...
OptiFast?
It's just a liquid diet.
Yeah, it's like...
Who's doing that for you?
I'm going through Kaiser Permanente.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do, Drew?
I'm not even a member. I just heard of it through a family friend, and she lost 130 pounds in 6 months, and she looked... I mean, it was... The results were amazing. I mean, it was
in
shocking.
Six months, 130 pounds.
People will lose the weight on the OptiFast, but keeping the weight off is a different
matter. What do? You don't eat?
You take like five or six supplement shakes a day, and when it comes down to it's like 900 calories a day that you're eating.
And you have to buy the shakes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you pay a weekly fee. The total program's like $2,500.
Well, I got to tell you, I've seen a lot of success with the weight loss with OptiFast, but I've not seen anyone keep it off with that.
Right. Well,
eventually you got to start chewing again, and then you're screwed, right?
It really... When people have serious problems with obesity, the most effective way these days is surgery, bariatric surgery.
Yeah, but he's never taken it. First off, he's a big guy. Yeah. Secondly, he's never taken a stab at a real diet.
Oh, you've never dieted before?
Well, I mean, I've dieted, but it's like I did the Weight Watchers thing, and I lost 40 pounds through that. And
Weight Watchers
is discouraged because the woman actually told me that I was losing weight too fast. And that she was going to get in trouble for it.
Well, Weight Watchers is a very good program. That's the healthiest of the programs out there.
Yeah.
OptiFast is sort of, you know, questionable in terms of health, but when you really have to lose the weight, that's important.
Well, I mean, let's talk about a question about health. You know, I mean, if I don't do it, you know, it's just going to get worse. I mean, that's what I'm like. I mean,
all right. But look, here's the question, Blake. Are your parents fat?
They're both overweight, I would say.
Here's a question. If you ate sensibly and exercised consistently, would the weight just slowly but consistently come off of you? Or is this a genetic problem?
No, it would, but the problem is when you're this big, it's a little discouraging when it slowly comes off.
It's really hard,
you know?
All right, I understand that, but let me say this, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And Blake. I worry... I mean, if you just sort of do the math where you go, well, sure, if I exercise consistently and I eat more sensibly and I watch the sweets and the late-night snacking and all that, yeah, the weight will come off. It's not going to come off in any exciting fashion, but it'll eventually come off, as opposed to picking some modem where you do it in some sort of crash diet way and the weight comes off immediately, but... during a very unrealistic
what Blake is saying is I'm not willing to maintain a healthy diet and lifestyle. I ain't gonna do it.
All right, but because... so now you take all the weight off through some very unrealistic method.
Yeah.
Well, eventually, especially when you're 20, you got to go back to living life. You're not going to be drinking these shakes the rest of your life. The math doesn't work out. Eventually, you're going to go back to eating, and when you go back to eating, you're not going to go back to the sensible eating with the exercise. You're going to go back to your kind of eating. All I'm saying is, and I've been kind of saying this for many years, which is I just wonder the kind of message that we send to everybody. I don't like the message that the lottery sends. I don't like the message that the crash diet sends.
Yep.
It's saying, look, you can't do it the normal way. You're going to have to do it in some unrealistic way that it's not really going to work out because eventually you're going to get off it. When you get off it, now you're back to it. It's sort of like being on steroids. Eventually, you're going to stop injecting yourself, and then you're just going to have testicular cancer.
That's right.
It's not. I mean, he's a 20-year-old guy.
Mm-hmm.
Start exercising. Start taking. And I also worry that everybody's got a plan, and the plan is what they get involved with, not really the work. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing about life, the thing about any kind of success you want to have, it involves work. I mean, it involves going to school, training, learning, homework, studying, discipline, getting up early, not getting paid what you should get sometimes, you know, not having the kind of exciting results you might have in a week, maybe only lose 3 or 4 pounds in a week, you don't lose 18 pounds, but get used to that. Yeah. I don't like the message at all this sort of instant gratification does. And that's why there's all this yo-yoing going on.
Right. If he can't get on that diet and stick with it now, what makes him think he's going to be able to do it when his weight's down low?
Right. He's 20. And he doesn't. He's a big guy who ballooned up after a football injury. How about exercising, going whatever, and just say, and by the way, you'll be 21. You'll be down 100 pounds.
But the reality is, though, that these bariatric surgery is really the only thing that have sustained change associated with them right now.
Well, if he has the genetic disposition,
and the predisposition for obesity. And the motivational priorities are sort of set in his brain in a certain way for whatever reason, whatever that is.
I don't know that he fully has the genetics, though. He wasn't always
I agree with you. I understand.
A big guy.
Yeah, I understand.
And by the way, you know, these poor kids, I mean, they show pictures of them when they're six. They're fat, you know, and then we got to attack them because we can't make fun of any ethnicities or religions anymore. Pow! We give it right to fatty, right in the gut, right in the bazoom, right where it belongs, the labanza. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Well, it's just getting started, Drew. I really had some more things to say.
Oh, I'm sure you'll say them tomorrow.
All right. We'll take a little extended break. We'll thank you all for listening tonight. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Mm. Means they're looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You want trouble, Missy? You found it. It's right here. I'm a atheist serial killer robot.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.